Good morning. I'm Jenny Rodriguez. I'm from the Oregon Church of God. And this year I'm on the planning committee for the Women's Conference. So I thought it would be a good idea to come over and personally invite the women. So this commercial, if you will, is for the women. We've got a poster for your church, as well as we made up some postcards, which is a great way to invite your friends to join us. The Women's Conference is going to be June 4th, starting with registration from 3 to 5, which is a Thursday. It will continue Friday all day. We'll have a banquet because, after all, we are the daughters of the king. So we'll have a banquet and a special service on Friday evening, and it will conclude Saturday at noon. So we're putting together workshops for during the day, as well as some main speakers for our worship in the evening. I will be teaching two of the workshops. One of them is Grounded in Love. We'll talk about the five love languages based on Gary Chapman's book. And another workshop that I'll be doing is Grounded in Debt. How can I tithe when I'm barely getting by? So we'll go over some budgeting and other principles from the Financial Peace University. We have a total of 9 different workshops that you can choose from. So there will be something for everyone. We are especially encouraging our teenage young women to attend, having some workshops geared specifically for them. So I want to invite you. I did also bring a sign-up sheet, so I know some people are not that tech savvy and would prefer to rather sign up rather than going online to sign up. I'll monitor that or ask people to take a picture of those signed up when we get closer to the date. May 4th is our early bird registration date. So before May 4th, adults cost is $35, which does include your meals for that time period as well. We want to try and keep it cost effective for everybody to come, but we also have some opportunities for scholarships. So if perhaps you have an interest in coming, I know gas prices are through the roof and you're just like, I don't know if I can really afford the $35 at this time. Let me know, because I can help you out with that. We don't want cost to be a factor that would prevent someone from going. So I'll have the postcards. I've got a couple of flyers as well, and then a sign-up sheet. So you can talk to me more for more information after the service, but I did want to personally invite you ladies to join us. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. Fruitful lives, not just full houses. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Woohoo! Spring is here. Time to get the garden planted. It's time to get busy, right, Floyd? Got to get out there in the garden. And Genesis chapter 1, the story of creation, God's creation, be kind of like now. He was getting ready, getting things going, had to get the garden planted and get everything going. God put together everything. Light, darkness, water, land. He organized it all together, had a plan for it. And he saw it, everything that he made along the way in the first few days. And he saw it, and it was good. Day 3 of creation, God said, bring grass and herbs yielding seed, fruit trees yielding fruit whose seed is in itself. And it was so. God saw it, and it was good. So ended the third day of creation. Some of you probably remember the old the end of broadcast day, and they'd play the national anthem and all that. That came to mind when I was putting this together. But anyway, let's move forward to day 5. God said, waters shall have creatures that have life, and fowl that fly above the earth. And again, God created fish or animals that lived in the water. In actuality, the King James Version says whales. So, a mammal-type animal breathes air, but fish breathe through their gills and through the water. They take the oxygen out of it. So it's kind of interesting there. He saw it, and it was good. God blessed him, blessed all the things that he had created already, the grass and the fruit and the fish in the water and the creatures on the land, and he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Now, day 6, God made the beasts of the earth, the cattle of the earth, and everything that creepeth upon the earth. Thought that was kind of interesting too. He made beast. And then he called out that he made cattle, and then he made creepy things. Creepy crawlies. Beast and creeping things. All after its own kind. And then he saw that it was good. Now for that part of the creation, he didn't say be fruitful and multiply like he had previously. I found that a little bit interesting. Day 6 continued, though. God created man in his own image. Male and female. And then God blessed them and commanded, be fruitful and multiply. And replenish the earth. This is another word that I kind of... The translation is kind of interesting to me, how the translators came up with and used replenish. These are the first people that are on the earth. And God told them to replenish it? Well, looking into it further in Strong's and that replenish actually is kind of a fill or... consecrate and be fruitful. So it's be fruitful and then be fruitful. According to Strong's, that word replenish is only used twice. Once here with Adam and Eve in Genesis 1:28, and the other time is when he's telling Noah and his family about it to replant, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. That one I understand. We're replenishing. We're being fruitful. I and others have said it before and will again. Read your Bible. Spend time with God in His Word. every day. We need to be with God every day. If something catches your attention, like the word replenish, look into it a little further. Look at it closer. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm kind of getting off track there a little bit. But, well, I guess not really, because the whole point of my message is be fruitful, productive. We're commanded to be fruitful. In Strong's, again, the meaning there that's used in that translation, in those words that are given to us, it means being productive. And for a plant to be fruitful, productive, it needs nourishment. It needs water. It needs light. So I guess I am not telling you anything new. We nourish ourselves by getting close to God, reading His Word, being in the Bible. If a plant doesn't get nourishment, nutrients, water, and light, it won't produce. Won't produce abundantly. Very well could wither and die. Genesis 1 ties fruitfulness to being made in God's image. God spoke, and we, man, were His fruit. Genesis 1:31 says, God saw everything He made, and behold, it was very good. That's the statement that He makes at the end of that chapter 1. At the end of day 6, He looked out over His creation and said, this is very good. After He made man, He commanded us to be fruitful or productive and multiply. Replenish the earth. Fill the earth with fruit. What does it mean to be fruitful? Well, I think we are to reflect the character of God. We were created in His image visually. Our fruit should also be His image. The image that how He was fruitful. Fruitfulness is not necessarily or just biological. It's spiritual and relational. In John chapter 15, we'll talk a little bit about that being fruitful. I'll read verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so ye shall be my disciples. What is the fruit? Jesus is telling of, if you're with me, you're gonna be bearing fruit. Well, we're also told that fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So we're commanded, be fruitful and multiply. You can have a house full of family, full of fruit, and be spiritually without. Or you could have no children and no family members in the house at all, and you could be overflowing with fruit. I think we get it. Be fruitful, be productive. Second part of God's command to man in Genesis is multiply. Our fruit must have seeds, and it's in Genesis 1 there, when God created those trees and the plants, the herbs and the fruit, he created things that had its own seed within it. That's what we need. We need to create fruit that has seed in it. People want to collect it. Our fruit must have seeds. Pardon me while I get off on a tangent here. How many of you shop and look for things that are non-GMO? You don't want that GMO stuff, right? Genetically modified organisms. Ooh, icky bad stuff. Well, I hate to tell us all, but pretty much everything in our world today is genetically modified. You can't grow, generally speaking, you can't grow a tomato in your garden and then collect the seeds out of those tomatoes and then expect it to grow that same plant next year. In most cases, it won't work because we've modified those seeds to make it where it'll produce more money. You got to buy more seeds. Seedless grapes, how do they do that? By modifying it. They have a seed that will not produce seeds. Navel oranges, no seeds. How do they do that? Where did that plant come from? Sorry. Let me get back on. Find my place here. No seeds makes it tricky. Those seedless grapes, you're definitely not going to multiply those, and it's hard to take the seeds out of there and grow a new plant. Now, I'm not going to go into the birds and bees thing, but I'm going to talk about plant multiplication. A few years ago, I believe Connie and I bought some hibiscus plants at Lowe's or Menards or one of those places, and they were just beautiful. The flowers were just fantastic, a real deep red color, and I guess if I had a favorite color, it would be the color of that deep red color. And we watched them, and they grew up and started producing flowers, and they were really pretty. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to try to make some more of those. And it actually worked this time. I took some other things you stick in your ears. Q Q-tips, that's it. And went out to the flowers, and while they were bloomed, I, you know, rubbed the Q-tip on the pollen and rubbed it on the stamen and whatever those things are all called in there. I kind of smeared it all around in all the places that seemed like it would be a good place to put pollen. And, you know, lo and behold, the blooms that I did that to produced seed pods. The other blooms on that plant didn't produce anything. They didn't produce any seed. So anyway, long story short, I harvested some seeds from those first few hibiscus plants. And actually, there was two different ones. There was two different colors. One was a white and red, and the other one was just pure red. And I really liked the red one. But I thought, hey, while I'm putting this pollen around, I'll just mix it up and all and so forth. So I mixed some of them too. Well, next spring, I started those seeds or put them in potting soil in the house and had a, you know, sitting in front of the south-facing window, so they were getting sun and all that, and it was kind of neat. They came up. A lot of those plants came up. And I took several of them as the summer progressed and they got big enough to take outside. I took several of them, planted them around in my yard, and I gave some to Brian and Hannah, and they planted a few of them out in their yard, and I gave some to our daughter, Jennifer, and she planted them. Well, I think she did. She planted them around, and that was all great. And then I gave some to our son, Evan, and I don't think his ever got out of the house. Poor things just shriveled up. But anyway, as we went on, those plants all took a different path. And I'll go into that a little bit further down the way, but Brian and Hannah's plants did pretty good outside. In fact, I think she still has two of them, or maybe it's only one that she has left, because I think Brian mowed one off. And actually, I think Carter helped with that, mowing it off. But they still have one that's going, and I think it finally bloomed last year. Our daughter, Jennifer, she planted them outside, and I think the first year they came up, but they never produced any blooms. And like I said, the ones that I gave to Evan, yeah, they never got out of the little potting pot. They were just shriveled up and dead on the, we used to say in the fire department, DRT. Dead right there. Just having the fruit, just having the seeds, that's all good, but we need to multiply it. To grow more fruit, you have to have the seed, and it must be spread around. Then, like in Matthew 13, Jesus tells us, some of the seed is going to fall in good soil and thrive. Other seed is going to fall on hard packed dirt, and it may start to come up like our daughter Jennifer's hibiscus seeds. They started to come up. And then they might die back. And then others just, yeah, they just don't do anything at all. Eaten by the birds or whatever. I have a point here. I'm going to get to it in a minute. And then there's the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. And you say, well, how's that have anything to do with spreading seed around? Well, it's kind of the same thing. Almost exactly when you really look at it. The one servant took his talents and invested it, planted it in the ground, if you will, and it grew. The second servant, if I remember correctly, took his talents and invested it, but it maybe didn't do as good as the first servant. And then the third servant, he just hid his. Didn't stick it in the ground, didn't try anything with it. And it obviously didn't do anything more than what he had to begin with. The chances there, the investment won't pay any dividends. The chances there that if you plant those seeds, you won't get anything back out of it. But if you don't plant the seed, you definitely won't get anything out of it. What's the saying in sports? If you don't make the shot on goal, 100% of the time you're not going to get a goal. If you don't plant the seed, 100% of the time you're not going to reap anything from that seed. We're commanded to multiply our fruit. For our fruit to multiply, we have to sow the seeds or invest the talent. God will nurture the young fruit. Remember in Isaiah 40:11, I'm going to read it because it's that good. God will nurture. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. God will take care of it. We have to plant the seed, give it the nurturing start, and then God will help us. He'll take care of us. And it doesn't matter, young or old, we plant that seed in them, in a person, and nurture it some. Just give it a little bit of a nudge, stick it in the ground, and God will do his work. Are we fruitful? Being productive? You know, in the reference in John, it says, if you produce fruit, God will trim that up and I can't think of the word for that either. It's like the apple trees. When we're producing apples to make better apples or more apples, we have to prune that tree. Okay? We don't take the apples completely off of it. We just trim branches that aren't working as well, where that energy is having to go. We trim that branch out of there. And then the branches that are left will produce better, bigger fruit. God will help us with that, but we have to be producing fruit. We have to sow the seed from the fruit that God gives us. Being fruitful and multiplying God's coming kingdom is what He commands of us as followers and believers. That's our purpose. Sharing in his creation, in his plan, sharing the glory of his son Jesus' return. A challenge is be fruitful. You know, everybody won't be fruitful in the same way. We have to be careful not to judge others around us by, this hall has kind of a gardening and farming type background to it. We can't judge by how Floyd Smith is planting his garden. He's not doing it the way I would do it. That's terrible how he's working it. no, that's not what we need to do. I'm going to do it my way, the way I'm called by God. Floyd will do it his way. And we're both going to produce the fruit that God wants us to produce. And then we spread the seeds around for the next year, and the next, and the next. Spring is here. Let's be fruitful and multiply. We're going to sing. Number 245, and if you'll stand, please.